This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Ed Norris is out. He'll be back. Let me explain to you all real quick at the top of this show what life is working with Jeremy Kahn. A serious conversation could go wrong quickly because it's him. We're having a serious conversation about something, and he said, his son, and oh yeah, I forgot, that was his dad.
We were talking.
He said, yeah, and Donald Glover is Danny Glover.
So I do this, by the way, because I said that for so long and
yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
And then the other one now is that I thought Max Christie was Doug Christie's son.
Yeah.
And I, like, you have conversations with, hey, did you see Doug Christie's son play last night? And you're like so sure you're right. And then somebody's like, hey, that ain't his kid. And then, like, with Rob.
At least he doesn't think so.
Anytime Rob and I are talking about something and it's like, oh my God, I didn't realize they were related. I said, there, and he knows it's coming now.
Yeah.
Because,
and,
did you
Donald
know?
Glover is related to Danny Glover and Max Christie is Doug Christie's son. Like,
he only changed his name because he wanted to do it on his own. That's why he went by Childish Gambino.
Yeah. He didn't want his dad's help. I'm like, dude, we were just having a serious conversation.
Speaking of serious conversations, did you see the breaking news? I think it's on ESPN, or is this on? I saw it on Twitter. I put on deodorant this morning. I don't smell no more.
You know, I did the real. I don't like Vince Newman yesterday while I was watching the game because they were talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
And everybody bust out laughing. They never heard that before.
They never heard
it? I gave them the background. I said, what are you talking about? And I gave them the background to it, and they couldn't stop laughing. They kept saying it.
It is one of the best. I've been delivered. I don't like men's no more. Why is it plural? Why don't you just say men? Why is it men's?
Same reason why he thinks he can be delivered.
Yeah. I'm looking at him saying, I bet I know what you're getting delivered. And it's probably coming from a man, too.
So. Oh, my God.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. We're going to talk Maryland game, but did the Alabama-Florida game live up to his expectations?
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's a doozy. That's a huge win for Florida.
Uh-huh.
Tough loss for Bama.
On the road.
So, like, again, when you stack your resume, because I find it interesting. When you and I talked earlier, we all look at that one team going, man, I'm not buying into them.
That was with Florida.
With Florida. And Florida's a really good team, but there are some holes in their game. And I think when you look at teams like Florida and Bama that play this fast, you run into a senior-laden team that can slow it down, play that half-court game, and make you kind of, like, if you're rushing when they're trying to slow the game down, and that pace can change. Like, it can change for whoever dictates the game. But in those spots, I think you're in trouble. And we've seen this. If the jump shots aren't falling, now you fall behind and you're chasing. Those teams are good enough to make a run all the way to the finals. But when I look at teams and comparatively speaking, like I'm going to like Auburn. I'm going to like, some of the other SEC teams at the top better. Tennessee worries me because they don't score enough at times.
And last night it bit them in the ass because Ole Miss got them, 78-76. Yeah. Well,
I mean, I got two games right out of my top five last night. I feel like I'm 2-3 every day now. It sucks.
Now, here's my thing.
And that was one of them.
I don't believe in Florida. I don't believe in Alabama either. But and I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth with those of you. Like, well, I thought the SEC was so great. The SEC is great. When I say I don't believe in them, I think they're one of the better teams in the country. I don't Final Four believe in them.
Okay.
I don't win the championship believe in them. I don't think they have. When you get to that, when you get to the Elite Eight, Jeremy, you got to play D. You got to figure out a way to win a game when you're not scoring 90 points. I don't think those two teams can do that.
See, and to your point, like when we sit here and say, I don't believe in this team, because Tennessee is that team for me.
You don't believe in?
No, just because, again, I would look at Tennessee and Kentucky's a team I don't believe in because they don't play defense sometimes, just like Bama. But with all those, they're really good. But when you start getting to the Elite Eight or even the Sweet 16, I'm going, I like this team better. I like that matchup better. But if you're going to take stands on who you think can win it all, I think you also need to take stands on teams that you don't think are going to go, especially right. For us when we're talking.
I see. Let me give you an example of what I mean by Florida and Alabama. They're going to run up against a team that's built like Tennessee, a team that you don't believe in, a team that's going to stop you from scoring 90 points. Didn't Tennessee hold Florida to like 44 points early in the season?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're going to, when you get to the Elite Eight level, you're going to run up against a team like that that's going to make you have to be creative on offense. You're not just going to get it and run and gun. You can't just turn and burn against those type teams. I don't believe in them when you get to that level and you face those teams.
Yeah. And to our point, like, am I telling you Tennessee's a bad team? Is Rob telling you Florida's a bad team? No. But comparatively speaking, I would prefer to bet on their peers to make a longer run than them.
And I even said when they get to the Elite Eight, I think they can get to the Elite Eight. Once they get to that point, I'm like, now you met some teams that has a DNA that you may not want to face.
Now you are delivered. That's what happens. We don't play men's no more. We got knocked out. You know, when you look at the top 25, they're like, here, I was trying to pull this up real quick. Sorry. So when you look at the top 25 and you're seeing those teams at top, to me, Auburn, Duke, Houston, for real, Florida, Tennessee, St. John's, Alabama, Michigan State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, they're all really good teams. Rob said to me this morning, I know we're going to talk about Maryland. He's like, and I agree with him. They're not talking enough about them.
No.
That's like to go into Michigan when Michigan needs that, like, has to have that win after it's back-to-back road games after you just exercise those damn demons in Happy Valley.
They may be the most complete team, one of the most complete teams in all of college basketball.
Yes. The one thing they're missing, and I know you agree with me as soon as I say it, is depth.
Yeah.
Because foul trouble happens and you're like, oh, this is how.
He doesn't believe in the bench.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Or maybe he just believes in those five so much.
You know, we're not going to get to it because it's not on the run. By the way, Jerry Palm is on who had them as a 7 seed. You want to ask him what he's thinking. And we're not going to get this. We don't have it on the rundown. Joey Bosa released by the Chargers.
What happened overnight, too, so it's like kind of a tough thing to.
And I stand corrected. It is on the rundown, so we'll talk about that later.
But where did he put it in? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Nonetheless.
Way to proofread.
Nonetheless, I said, I was shocked that happened initially. Then I looked again at his numbers the last, 4 years, 3 years? And nah, I guess not that shocked anymore.
And sometimes you figure out that dog hadn't been hunting, right? Like, you look at those numbers, and when you see Bosa gets cut, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But understanding, like, injury plagued.
He played 14 games this past year. The 2 years prior to that, combined 14 games.
And again, he played through some games when he was hurt, too. Right. So maybe the right team gets him, and he's healthy.
Right.
You can get them, like.
Put it this way, he hadn't played worth the $25 million cap hit that's going to be.
Mm-mm. But he's a perfect candidate for a team like Baltimore. You go there and you're surrounded by so much talent, like, and then you're in a great scheme. Good night.
Like Jeremy said, Michigan and must win last night. Nah, they're going to have to figure out the next game that's must win because Maryland takes care of business. We're talking about Maryland Hoops up next on The Fan.
To the right corner, Gillespie with a triple. No good. And the rebound by Queen keeps it alive to Rice out front. He'll fire the triple, and he got it. Heading for the rim, and Geronimo flies through the air and jams it home with the right hand. That'll call Dusty May to call a timeout. Wow. Wide open Miguel. Doesn't take the shot from the right corner. A triple. That's good by Rice. Rebound by Rodney Rice in the backcourt. And the Terrapins have come to Ann Arbor, and they won a game for the first time since 2017. 71-65, that's the final.
Joe, I was just listening to this yesterday. Simon says, I was just listening to this on my playlist. Maryland takes care of business on the road. Number 13, Maryland beating number 17, Michigan Wolverines. As you heard Johnny Holiday say via a courtesy of Terps Radio Network right here on 105.7 The Fan. Terps now 23-7, 13-6 in conference. The Wolverines dropped to 22-8. They're still 14-5 in the conference, but Julian Reese, not a great night, 2-for-7. Didn't take a lot of shots, but as you pointed out, Jeremy, even in foul trouble, when it mattered, he took care of business. That shot that he made going left.
Big shot.
Big shot, man. He killed the momentum of Michigan, and that's a senior for you. I remember when he did it, everybody, you know, and Della Rose was pumping and high-fiving. I'm like, yeah, well, that's a senior. That's what seniors do.
It felt like somebody said, hey, you remember that shot you took last night? The one? No, but in all seriousness, like, look at what he did in somewhat limited minutes because of foul trouble. Again, five more stocks, steals, and blocks. It's like, are these guys going to keep trying him in the passing lanes? Are you going to keep trying to get things by him around the hoop when you see he's been, you know, recovering and blocking shots left and right? But as we talked, the thing for me last night that I really liked and I was happy to see is that it wasn't perfect, but Rice kind of got it going, especially from deep. And
19 points.
I think
4 of 9 from beyond the arc.
That's a really good starting five, man.
Yeah.
So much so that they might need a break every once in a while.
You think? Gapara getting 1 minute wasn't good enough? Jay Young playing four? Harris Smith playing four?
Yes.
Jay Young actually played five. Now, Geronimo came off the bench to 16 minutes, 4 points, including one highlight reel dunk that he had.
Yeah.
Taking off from just inside the free throw line.
So, you know what I'm going to say, and obviously tournament play coming up next week.
Oh, by the way, you know that's the most minutes he's played, according to Joe, since January the 2nd?
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, it's been 2 months.
Well, hey.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, when you have, you know my concern, I always talk about these things, these letdown games. Uh-huh. You have a game like that that you get up for. That's why I said even the Michigan State, them going into Penn State, that's such a huge win from what happened against Michigan State.
Yeah.
It's easy to overlook an opponent where you played so poorly. And not only do they pick up that win in a tight game, they come out last night. Michigan made their run, and then they said, here you go. Yeah. We're gonna go tit for tat and back and forth, and
right.
You're not going to take this lead and beat Michigan. You can't come home and lose to Northwestern. You just can't.
Is this senior night?
Is it?
It is senior night. Juju ain't letting it happen.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you two games.
Was he going to get 25 rebounds?
No, I'm going to tell you two games that Juju impact, and you in the stat sheet doesn't tell. Juju impacted that Penn State game.
No question.
Because
and he had 4 points.
Why? Because he's lost at Penn State before. And Juju's going to impact that game against Northwestern. That's his final game. Those guys love him. When I did the Q&A with Derek Queen, when you hear him talk about Juju, they love Juju. They're winning that game for him.
Yeah.
He's not going to – no. I'm not. You can't have a letdown game on senior night when your senior is Juju Reese. You can't do that. He's not going to let you.
I almost said Smith-Schuster. That's not – it's a different one.
Just different
Juju,
one.
Yeah.
This one's tougher.
Smith-Schuster.
This one's tougher.
Yeah. Well, look, again, I can't speak highly enough about what he's done. And, you know, we've talked about this. I hate calling people garbage players, but it's – and he's not one. But it – for me, it's a compliment because I'm the type of person, if I say you're a garbage player, it means you're just cleaning up everything around the basket. Nobody else is getting it, you know, and you're doing all the little things that need to be done. And I think you see him do that on a nightly basis. Yeah, when he adds in a 12 to 15 points or whatever, yeah, that's going to help out a lot. But the thing is, watching this team play is he doesn't have to do
and
that.
He understands that. He understands that. You know, he's like, you know, I'm gonna get drafted where I get drafted. What I'm doing right now is not going to impact that. I'm going to get drafted when I get drafted. I got a combine. I got all those things to show. But right now, it's my last year. I want to win. You can tell. Somebody asked me last night, so why do you like Juju so much? I said, you got to allow me to be an old man sometime. He's like, what do you mean? I saw that boy play in elementary school. I remember when he was in middle school trying to decide what high school he was going to go to. He came to Mount Carmel to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting next to his mom, talking to his mom, what are you thinking? When we're looking at this school, looking at that school, I literally watched him grow up. I watched him grow up on a basketball court. So the old man in me is cheering for him. When you see a kid come up like that, and you see what he becomes.
He stays home, plays 4 years.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why wouldn't you like him?
Yeah.
I literally saw this young man grow up on a basketball court. I saw him in high school when people doubted whether or not he was good enough for the Big Ten. I'm looking at him saying, I don't know what y'all seeing, but you all looking at where he's standing right now. I'm looking at the ceiling, and the ceiling is pretty high. The ceiling says Big Ten to me. You know, and so I probably like him more than most, but I had a different view of him than most. I had a different view. I saw, you know, that's why I like Angel so much. Angel's first high school basketball game was against my team. So when you see things like this and see these kids grow up and see what they become,
well,
you care for them.
To be fair, one of the greatest players, the greatest player of all time told us once, the ceiling is the roof.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So was he prophetic or pathetic?
Yes. Michael Jordan talking to UNC. The ceiling is the roof. What the hell are you talking about?
That's as high as we can go. Biggie said the sky's the ceiling.
Oh, can I tell you something? As we were going to bed last night, my wife and I threw on the documentary about We Beat the Dream Team or whatever it was. And she started watching. I was telling her, I said, man, they came back and whooped those boys' asses the next day.
That's what they didn't tell.
And then they were trying to say that Chuck Daly, Coach K believes that Chuck Daly purposely threw that game because he had Jordan sitting on the bench most of the game. Because afterward, Jordan was like, who's got eight? That was Allen Houston.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, I said, the guys that were playing on that select team, almost all of them had successful careers in the NBA, big time successful careers. But my favorite thing about it, and they had Rodney Rogers on there, what happened to him? Like, he's in a wheelchair now, and he's got a breathing.
The Wake Forest, right? He was Wake Forest, yeah.
So,
really?
Denver Nugget, yeah. I'm like, who is
ALS?
That? I don't know. I got to look it up because it was late last night, so I didn't get on my phone to look it up. But Rodney Rogers was guarding Larry Bird, and he started talking trash to him. And he said that's when Larry did Larry-like things. Okay, I'm going to stop over there, high off the glass, bink. Here you go. Two dribbles, and I'm going to shoot it over top of you. And it's going to be nothing but net. He was doing that left and right. They said 10 shots in a row. He just took it to him.
He's paralyzed from the shoulders down as a result of an accident.
Man.
Yeah.
It's sad because I don't remember hearing that. And, you know, because those guys were all in my wheelhouse when I fell in love with basketball. Like, again, the early 90s is when it, like, really took over for me. And it just became my entire life just watching everything I could.
2008 accident. So it's been a while.
It's sad, man.
He was the man at Wake Forest, man. Whatever happened to Wake Forest? They used to be so relevant.
Was it Skip Prosser when they had him and then everything fell apart after that? Didn't he pass away?
Yeah. They had him. They had, of course, the big fundamental.
Yeah, Tim Duncan. You're talking about
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Who was the guard they had?
Randolph Childress.
Randolph Childress.
My favorite.
Randolph Childress beat North Carolina in the ACC tournament by his damn self.
Jeff McGinnis is still getting up, grabbing his ankle. Get up!
You remember he told
bang,
him.
Bang.
He crossed him over, he dropped. He looked at him and said, get up.
Yes. Bang, bang!
He hit the three.
You know how many times I did that and missed the shot? Damn, man.
Dania Madden. Playing for me at Mount Carmel. Put a serious crossover on a kid. Kid went to her right. Dania looked at her. And before she even really looked at the basket, she started shooting.
You know what I liked?
Bang!
I know people aren't going to believe this. I've dropped many a player out there, and I even more so than dropping a guy, I like when he did the stumble, and it looks like he's grabbing his ankles, trying to, I don't want to fall. It's like when you're walking on like a tightrope or whatever, and you're trying to balance. Man, those dudes start grabbing at their ankles and knees like I can't fall.
Gravity, just another way to keep the man down.
but again, like going back to basketball and the history of this sport and seeing how great the SEC's been, and everybody's been talking about them, including us, like I do think Maryland is, and I've been saying this for weeks, they fall into that top 20 offensive team, top 30 defensive team. And when you fall into that ranking, that's where they consider you one of the title contenders. Because usually a team that wins a title falls into that. So,
you say top 20 in both?
They're top 20 in both now.
Yeah, but the prerequisite is top 30 in defense.
I got you.
I think they moved it back because there were probably four or five teams in there to make the numbers look better.
Yeah.
But that's, who is that? That's, who does that ranking?
Lenardi? No.
No, it's not Palm. It's I'll figure it out.
World of Stupid at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Max Crosby. Max Crosby becomes the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. Adam Schefter says, you know, he could be outdone a couple of times this offseason. Where's the money going in the National Football League? How high is that ceiling, Jeremy? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
The roof.
On the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, remember we had a conversation maybe a month or so ago when people were talking about they think Max Crosby could be on the move. And I said to you, if I'm the Las Vegas Raiders, there's no way I'm letting Max Crosby walk. I'm doing whatever I can do to keep that guy. Well, that's what the Raiders did yesterday. You can't let Crosby walk. You can't make it be about anything else. Is it about money? I don't care. I'll give you what you want. Whatever you want, we'll give it to you. And they made him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. 3 years, $106.5 million extension. He is worth every penny of it.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask you, because as we talked, what was it, yesterday or the day before, and we were talking about the top pass rushers in the league, and we had the Steeler fan call in and say, well, it's T.J. Watt, after I said it's Myles Garrett. But, like, for a long time, it was T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and you always felt like Max Crosby, maybe because the Raiders weren't good, always kind of got left out as that fourth
guy.
No doubt about it.
I don't know if he's fourth.
I don't know if he's fourth.
I mean, that's the thing about it.
Look,
I don't think he can be in a conversation the number one or two, but honestly,
this year, if he keeps excelling, man,
I would take Max Crosby over. The only guaranteed person I'm taking over Max Crosby is Garrett. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, T.J. Watt, I think by hair, I take him over Crosby. But I'm definitely taking Crosby over Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I think all of them are special. I think we're splitting hairs when you say you like outside. I think Garrett's
the guy.
I think he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys, I don't think they're that far off from, nope, from having his. Like, they could easily have a season where you go, damn, he was better than Garrett this year, and that's impressive.
See, I think when it comes to Watt and Crosby, one is a hair better than the other. But I think both of them are clearly better than Michael Parsons.
Well,
and Michael Parsons is great, but I think those three separate themselves a little bit from Parsons.
I think Crosby and T.J. Watt are the same player.
Okay.
I mean, I really do. And I know the size might be a little bit different when you look at things that go on, because I do think T.J. Watt's a complete player. But I also think Max Crosby's one of those guys that, here we go with the combine stuff. He speaks well. He's got a high motor. The white dude has a high motor. And that motor does not stop, whether he's smoking Black and Milds on the sideline or not. He is an interesting guy. I don't know if you've seen his house. Listen to some of the stories he tells. Like, you're looking at him going, he's weird, man.
He is weird.
But he's wired differently.
I don't care.
Yeah.
He's
weird. But when you say
he's getting
the quarterback,
$91.5 million guaranteed, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to spend money on being weird.
Well, we're gonna start to see more and more of this because I think pass rushers are at a premium in this league.
Adam Schefter says while he's the highest paid non-quarterback right now, that he could be eclipsed multiple times this year. Do you think so?
Yeah, I do, because this is where the league's going, man.
You know who's gonna eclipse him?
I think Garrett could if he got an extension.
Garrett's gonna get traded and get extended and eclipse Crosby.
Yeah, I that doesn't surprise me. I don't know if there's anybody else that's due for an extension. That could be in that mold.
In Parsons?
Probably, but I don't know when they plan on doing that. I have to look at, is he in his fifth year now?
I don't think so.
Okay, so either way, like as you start looking at those guys,
I think he's going to his fourth year.
But what Schefter said, I think it may not happen, but it's a very real possibility that gets passed over a couple times.
No, he's going to his fifth year.
Yeah, so then he is the other one.
Jeez, he's been in the league 4 years already?
Damn, man, you got to pay his ass now because you're paying Dak Prescott $90 million this year.
Well, you know, they just restructured Dak.
Did they extend it?
They restructured it to save money under the cap, so whatever they did.
Okay, well, they were due to take a $90 million cap hit under Dak. But again, we talked about this. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul to kind of figure out Dak now. They're backloading that contract, and at some point, you got to pay that credit card bill.
The Cowboys have restructured Prescott's contract and created $36.6 million in cap space. The Cowboys converted $45.75 million of Prescott's base salary to a signing bonus, reducing his cap figure from $89.89 million to $53.29 million.
That's still bad, man. Still a lot of money for that.
For that also restructured Lamb.
Okay, but the other thing is they lost Zach Martin now. I mean, you got to replace one of the best offensive linemen to ever play.
Yeah, but you're going to replace him cheap.
I get it. But again, Zach Martin, with Zach Martin coming off, that's the number they still had to get to. You'd have factored in like, well, he's got to be one of the highest paid players at his position. And then you start looking at Dak and CD. They've got their big names. They're doing all this just to try to keep Parsons. But what happens if Parsons is like, I don't want to be here anymore?
So you're saying, are you thinking the only thing that's going to eclipse his salary is a pass rusher, Crosby?
I think so, because look, when you look at what middle linebackers
For those of you who are going to tell us quarterbacks, we're talking non-quarterbacks. Like yesterday we talked non-Hall of Famers, and you messed that one up?
Yeah. Not me. They did.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You people. Oh, sorry. Rob, but when you're looking at the way everything is constituted in this league, especially with a team like the Cowboys and what they have to spend money on, it does make you wonder, like, how are they going to allocate money correctly to make this team better than it was last year? Was it just injuries last year? Does Dak coming back just improve them? Because I think a lot of things you have to look at, and the only...
Yes, it does, but does it improve them enough?
Yeah, especially when you had the Eagles win the Super Bowl and Washington take a huge step forward and maybe even leapfrog you. But here's the other part of it. When you ask about who could eclipse him, it would have to be a pass rusher, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It could be a potential cornerback, but it'd have to be the right situation.
See, I don't know.
Which guy? I mean, who is it?
I don't know a cornerback that's going to get that kind of loot.
And again, like... I don't think Kyle Hamilton would ever get something like that, even though, because of the position he plays, even though he's going to get way more money than anybody that played that position.
Mm-hmm. So, 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Touch the quarterback or the ball, and you can get paid.
Yeah. Roger running back. Jeremy Cohn, Ed Norris is out. He will be back, fret not. 7 o'clock, you know what else is going to be back? World of Stupid with Jeremy Cohn, so don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss that.
Fun ones today.
On the other side, KC could be a landing spot for Ronnie Stanley if the Ravens don't sign him. Is the pressure on Eric DaCosta not to let him go to the evil empire of the AFC? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Well, Ronnie and I did a deal the last time, so that's great. He and I have a good friendship. We've known each other for a long time. He's got a great agent in Kim Miale. Never want to say 100%, but I feel good that we'll have a good, healthy debate, a good process. We're going to meet with Kim in Indy this week. And I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get a deal done.
Now, normally, Jeremy, when a person says, I don't want to say 100%, it's because they can say 100%. Am I right? I just, Eric DaCosta gave me the impression from that. We talked about this last week, that he thinks Ronnie Stanley is in the bag.
It's what it sounds like. But I also heard, that if Ronnie Stanley hits free agency, that the Chiefs plan on making a full court press to go get him. So if, I mean, is there a handshake agreement? Does that hold up after the fact? If someone calls him and says, psst, hey, you know what they're willing to give you? Does it change then? Or
we shook our left hands.
Yeah. I have my fingers crossed. No, but I mean, like, if you really listen to that that interview or whatever you want to call it, the press conference where he's talking about all these things, it sounded like Mark Andrews was gone. It sounded like Ronnie Stanley was staying. And it also sounded like they're going to obviously wait until all the information's out about Justin Tucker. That's the three things I took away from that.
See, the one thing I disagree with you with is I think Justin Tucker's already decided.
Well, it may be, but he's just not saying that.
He's not saying anything. I think that's decided.
Yeah.
I was listening to national radio yesterday.
By the way, I think that has to be decided already.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to national radio yesterday, and they were talking about the one thing in sports that you have to see. It's worth the money. Right now, you have to see. Simone Biles, her name came up quite a bit, seeing her. But you know whose name came up more than anyone?
Lamar?
Lamar. And these aren't Baltimoreans. This is national radio. Oh, you guys see, one of the hosts was like Freddie. What's his name from ESPN last name? Freddie Coleman.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, I saw Lamar in person. It was phenomenal. It was worth the price. The guy's unbelievable. Every time he makes a play, you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you feel like everything he does can be a home run. You know, I know we talked about Ronnie Stanley. People wonder why you bring up Lamar. Because I think Lamar's a factor in everything you do.
Yeah.
Where you sign, how much you sign for, we want to play. And I know Patrick Mahomes is on that other team. But I think it's a different show. And I think it's a different assignment. I think Lamar Jackson is a guy that can make an offensive line look good. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is. Patrick Mahomes is a guy who can make wide receivers look good.
So there's two things with this. One thing I want to say is that, is there a point in time where it just happens and Lamar, he wins, and then he wins again? Then we see, you know, like,
right.
Patrick Mahomes had it happen so early in his career, we were all just wowed by it. I mean, we should still be wowed by what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it, too, is like we have to get past the Lamar is so good that we don't need a good offensive line. No.
Yeah, you do.
If you put a good offensive line in front of that guy, think about how much more time he creates.
Yeah.
You can't take that for granted because the more quarterbacks get hit in that pocket, the more shell shock they get. Or, you know, you short arm something or, you know, you're making a decision too quick and you overthrow your receiver. So,
and I think offensive linemen is like anything else in life. It may not be what everybody wants, but it works for me. Ronnie Stanley might not be the best left tackle in football, but he works for Lamar. Why would you want to risk that? He works so well for Lamar. It's a perfect combination. I don't want to take anything that's less than that to put in front of number eight because that may affect number eight. You know what Ronnie Stanley means to Lamar Jackson. Make the deal, man. Make it happen. We don't need ifs. We don't need hope. You don't win with hope. Well, we're going to let him go, bring somebody else in, we hope. No, we don't want to hope nothing. You bring the guy back that works for your quarterback.
What did Gene Hackman say in the replacements? Heart is what we need. Well, I guess the hope's not going to work. But look, the whole point of this is you know what you get with Ronnie Stanley, whether you like that or not. And finding a left tackle, I mean, look, I think it's probably the toughest thing to do outside of finding a quarterback and a pass rusher.
Right.
You know, like finding your guy to say, we are set here for the next 5 years at a minimum. And I think that's what teams are looking for.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Rosedale and get Corey. What's up, Corey?
Hey, you guys kind of just answered what I was going to ask. But I'm like, is there – and Ronnie Stanley had a very good bounce back year. I've always liked Ronnie Stanley, but I kind of have a fear that, like, there's no way next year whatever contract he signs looks good because he's going to get a lot of money. He's older. He's always battled injuries. And, yes, the offensive line, I think, across the board needs improvement. So why let go of the guy you have? But that's the part that's scary to me. It's like he – I don't see that he's going to be as good as whatever contract he gets.
How do you see that? He went to the Pro Bowl and played 17 games – at the age of 30. So why would you assume that he's not going to be worth the contract?
Well, I'm not going to argue Pro Bowls because everybody's a Pro Bowler now.
No, he was selected. He was one of the No. He was selected initially. He wasn't a replacement. He was selected.
I got you. I just feel like last year we were really worried about Ronnie Stanley. Every year it's just like the guy has injury history, and he was, I feel like his game was freak athleticism for a left tackle. And he's at an age where freak athleticism diminishes. It wasn't, I thought Ronnie Stanley was probably one of the best athletes at left tackle in the league.
And I think, I agree with you, and I think that was the key to last year. At 30, he learned how to not to be productive without being the freak athlete. Listen, when someone says to me, I got a feeling, and they go with it.
That tonight's going to be a good night?
Give me a reason. I got a feeling that his contract's not going to be. Okay, give me a reason why. Not just because the sky's falling for you. I understand. I hear what you're saying. But what's your reason why? He played 17 games last year. Started 17 games last year. Had a Pro Bowl season. Maybe Ronnie Stanley at his age right now has learned to be a solid without being the freak. And I agree with the caller. He was a freak athlete. But I think maybe once you get older, Jeremy, when you played ball, when the skills started to diminish, you learned how to get it done with diminishing skills.
I've heard from a player that, and it's a rumor that we had all talked about before, like Ronnie Stanley doesn't like to play unless he's 100%. Remember we've heard
right,
that?
Right.
I've heard that from players on the team. I don't mind telling you the break who it was, but the fact of the matter is, like, you look at some of those offensive linemen like Ronnie Stanley, and I can understand some of the, I always use the term pause that people have where it's like looking at it because you did have the situation where you were rotating left tackles, and I've never seen that before in a game. Like,
it was in 23, right?
Yeah, and you had the questions of the injury stuff that was going on with the ankle. Is he not playing because it's still hurt, or is he not playing because he doesn't think he's 100%? Does that matter to people? Because if he's healthy, he is one of the better left tackles in the league. I'm not telling you he's the best, but if we listed a top 10, he's going to be in consideration somewhere in that 5-8 range.
I don't care where you rank him. When healthy, he works for Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Rank him number 30. I don't care. When he's healthy, he works for Lamar. That's all I care about. John in Baltimore. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up? Thanks, guys. I think a lot of it comes down to, as well, is Lamar restructuring his contract, because a lot of them, the offensive linemen, when you're playing with a quarterback like Lamar, you got to learn how Lamar plays. You got to understand when he's going to do what he does. And I think that him and Lamar do have a good relationship.
Yes.
They've been there for a while together, and he understands Lamar.
And that's all I'm saying, John. That's I don't want to bring in somebody, my left tackle especially, to learn that.
Absolutely. And I mean, if Lamar restructures his contract and says, hey, that's my man, I want to keep him there, then I do believe they are going to do what they got to do to keep him there because they understand each other. I appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, John. I could have said it best. Said it better than that. I understand you. You understand me. Let's make it work. There's something about continuity. And the continuity they have between those two, that guy's on his blind side. He knows when I zig, he's got a zag. He knows when I go outside, by chip before me. He knows everything about me. Keep that guy at left tackle.
So just reading what happened yesterday, and Joe reported about the Chiefs trading Tooney, their offensive lineman, to the Bears. It's a fourth-round pick next year. And the only reason I bring that up is there's a lot of people pointing to, again, the Chiefs trying to make a run at Ronnie Stanley. And not only does that help your team, it also hurts the other team. Now you go find your left tackle, because we've been searching for years after we traded your sorry asses and got Orlando Brown Jr. Remember that?
Gunnar Henderson dealing with a very mild injury, according to Brandon Hyde. We'll talk about that at 7:15 as we're all nervous in Baltimore. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Oh, yeah. this is going to be so fun. We have a story about an OnlyFans star. We've talked about Lily Phillips before. She's the woman that said she was going to sleep with 1,000 men in one day.
Uh-huh.
She's doing something new. And it is
1,001?
No. I can't wait to tell you this because you're going to go, what? And part of you is going to go, I kind of like that for them, but what? So anyway, we'll get to that story as well as what?
So, are you serious?
Hold on. And then we also have a Chinese man.
Most women get tired with one.
His nickname with Chimp. I'll tell you why his nickname's Chimp and what he has growing on his body.
Is he going to get lockjaw?
A woman also, we're going to talk about a woman who, she committed a horrible crime. She murdered her roommate. But what did she use to try to get rid of the DNA? Honey, that ain't working. I don't know what you're thinking. It's just crazy. We get to that next in the World of Stupid.